Morning. So good to be with you again, beloved. And it's always the joy to be with the Lord's people. When the brother called out that last hymn, I said, oh, that's the hymn I wanted to sing. And then he left out the verse I wanted. I said, no. You really want to leave, right? You want me to sing so you can leave? It's not going to happen. But I'll quote it somewhere during the message. It was the right hymn. We're going to read from the book of Revelation in chapter 2. Revelation in chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them who are evil. And thou hast tried them who say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from where thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy lampstand out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ's address to the church at Ephesus. He addressed all seven churches in Asia Minor. And he had a lot of good things to say about this church. It was a good church. It was a spiritual church. It was a church that was careful to maintain the right doctrine. It was a church that labored for the Lord. They weren't lazy. They were laboring for the Lord. They endured persecutions for the Lord. They did not tolerate hypocrites in their midst. Those who were false apostles who said they were Jews and were not. They found them liars. So the Lord had a lot of good things to say about this church at Ephesus. But the point I'm going to make today, beloved, the Lord says, there's one thing. I have something against you. All these things are commendable. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They did not lose their first love. They left their first love. They forsook their first love. And any labor that's going on without the love of God, it's not really commendable. The Apostle Paul says the thing that drove him, the thing that causes him to go on, he said, it is the love of Christ that constrains me. And what we do, we must do it because we love him. And if we're just going through the motions because we know the facts, and if we're just showing up so that we can play the part, the Lord reminds us that we need to return. We need to repent and turn around and remember. Remember the place from which we are fallen. We tend to forget and to go through as though nothing is happening and all is well, but all is not well. What we're doing, we're going through the motions. We're not motivated by love. And we must be. We have to love him because he first loved us. You have left your first love. Remember those early days when you were enthusiastic about the testimony? Those early days when you first got saved and no one can keep you quiet. You wanted to share the love of God. You couldn't wait to meet your best friend to tell them the good news. But something happened. It happened to this church. It happened to Israel. In Jeremiah in chapter 2, it says this, moreover, chapter 2, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals. Remember those courting days. When thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. I remember those days. Here's the reason why I wanted to sing that third verse. Verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You left the right. You left the great, the good waters. And you go after the things that doesn't matter. They look good. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now I'm going to quote that verse that we didn't sing. He says, I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord. For thou the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wheeled. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy, lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. You have forsaken me. You have forgotten the days of your espousals. You've gone after broken cisterns that can hold no water. Jesus said in a coming day, the day prior to his return, he says, let me read it in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. Peter also addressed that in his epistle in 2 Peter in chapter 2. Verse 1 says this, but false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who secretly shall bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. They were enthusiastic about him at one time. Now they are denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. There were times when you couldn't stand those who were ridiculing, who were spreading false doctrine. Now it doesn't matter. You don't seem to have that enthusiasm anymore. You don't seem to have that drive to defend the faith. What happened? What happened is what happened to Ephesus. They left their first love. And there's going to be iniquity, there's going to be lawlessness, because we're not as passionate of the faith as we once were. We don't seem to be motivated by the love of God anymore. We look at on the outside, we look at how things look, and not how things are. I have somewhat against you. I believe it broke the heart of Paul the Apostle. He had some trusted companions in labor. But at the end of his life, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he spoke of one, a laborer of his over the years. And this is what he said. This is one of the sad commentaries in the life of the apostle. He comes to the end of his life. One of his dear friends. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, he says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What happened? He got excited about the things around him, and he was drawn away from the love of God. He was drawn away from all that he experienced during his life, during his early life when he was with the Apostle Paul, when they were laboring together. Coming to the end, he said, he forsook me because he loved this present world. Oh, there's nothing that can allure you and take you away from the love of God, leaving your first love, like the allurements of the world. The Apostle John was careful to remind us that we're not supposed to fall in love with the world. It doesn't mean you don't love the creation of God. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about the mountains and the hills and the ocean. He's not talking about that. He's talking about a system. He's talking about a world order. He is talking about the world system in the ethically bad sense of the word. The world that is diametrically opposed to God. Not God's creation. Not the beautiful hills and the mountains. This is what he says. Love not the world. He's not saying, oh, beloved, you love to go to the mountains. You can love the landscape. You can love the mountains. You can love the ocean. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the world system. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You have left your first love. What's in the world? For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. It's not of the Father. That's what he's talking about. That's the system. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All he wants to do is to see. All he wants to gimme, gimme, gimme. The lust of my flesh, the pride of life. Everybody wants to be. I want to be. The pride of life. It's not of the Father. It's of the world. The world passeth away. All the glitter you see is going to go. The world passeth away and the lust of it, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And nobody knows that better than the Lord Jesus Christ. When Satan took him up to the mountain and he showed him the wonders of the world, he said, I'm going to give it all to you. But there are some conditions. You've got to fall down and worship me. This Lord said to him, begone, Satan, get behind me. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Keep it. I don't want it. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All these I will give you. He thought he was talking to me. He didn't know he was talking to the one who created the heavens and the earth. In James chapter 4, this is even stronger language than we have in 1 John 2. In James chapter 4, this is very emphatic. Verse 4 says, you adulterers, you see, you were in love with the Lord and you've forsaken him. Now you are a spiritual adulterer. That's what it's saying here. You adulterers and adulteresses, you remember you made a commitment to the Lord? You were espoused to him? You were in love with him? You pledged your love to him? Now we say, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I have somewhat against you. You have left. You have left your first love. You know, the Apostle Paul, he labored among the Galatian saints because that was a church that was targeted for false doctrine by the Judaizers, the false teachers, and the teaching got to some of them. The false teaching got to some of them. And so they weren't very happy with Paul the Apostle. The one who they enthusiastically embraced at the beginning when they trusted Christ as their Savior, now somebody is spreading false doctrine in the church. And now they don't want to listen to Paul the Apostle. Hey, this is what he's saying to them now. What happened? they left their first love. Chapter 4 of Galatians, verse 15. Where is then the blessedness you spoke of? Remember that? For I bear you witness that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. That's back then. That's back then when you were in love with the Lord and in love with the doctrines of the church. You would have plucked out your own eyes and would have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Now you are hostile to me. I haven't changed my message. You have changed. You have left your first love. Remember from where you are fallen and repent. That was the message to Ephesus. Repent, because the day is coming. The day is coming, said Paul the Apostle, when he encourages Timothy at the end of his life. He says, the day is coming when they will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he says, preach the word. Don't change the message. Preach the word. Preach the word. Don't compromise with the word. Don't water down the message. Preach the word. Be diligent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn unto fables. People are abandoning the word of God and they're believing in fables today. A lot of nonsense, a lot of old wise fables out there. The latest is that we don't have any proof that Adam was the first man. That's taking hold around the world now. They're coming up with all these fables. Turn away their ears from the truth. They once believed it. Not anymore. They're unfaithful. And the Bible refers to them as adulterers and adulteresses, unfaithful. They have forgotten their betrothal. Paul the Apostle urges in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I have somewhat against you. But the Lord said the same of you. I have something against you. You have left your first love. Paul, writing to the Colossians, wrote these words: if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your heart, your love on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. That's the condition. You've left your first love. That's the reason for the spiritual dearth among us. That's the reason for the coldness among the people of God. We have left our first love. You know, the psalmist says, in Psalm 116, verse 1, he says, I love the Lord. He says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. I love the Lord. The Apostle John says, we love him because. The psalmist says, because he heard my voice, he says, he heard my voice. The Apostle John says, we love him because he first loved us, and love is known by the action that it prompts. And he says, he loved us and he gave himself for us. That's the action that his love prompted. And if you love him in return, your actions should be to embrace him and to make him number one, make him priority one in your lives. I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. That's the reason for the spiritual dearth among the people of God. But not only there is a reason, but there is a remedy. There's a remedy for our condition, beloved. And it's in verse 5. It says, remember, therefore, from where thou art fallen, and repent. That's the remedy. Remember. From where you are fallen. Remember we refer to as the good old days. Remember those days. Change your mind, turn around, and return. Return. That's the message. Repent. Return. In Isaiah 55 and 6 it says, remember, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. He says, if you repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and will remove thy lampstand out of its place, except thou repent. What are you saying? This church will cease to exist. I'm going to remove it. You cannot operate outside the love of God. You can't just go through the motions and think all is well. You can't just learn the right words and say the right words, and there's nothing to it. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. When I was a boy in Sunday school, we used to sing a chorus, God has blotted them out, all my sins. He says, he turned to the book of Isaiah and see. Well, you know what that scripture says in Isaiah 44, chapter 44? It says 22 and 3, but we're going to read 21 and 22. Isaiah 44 and 21 says this, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten by me. God will never forget us. We're the ones who are moving away from him. He says, I have blotted out like a thick cloud thy transgressions, and like a cloud thy sins. Return unto me. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Let him repent. Remember from where you have fallen and repent. That's the remedy. Remember from where you have fallen. Now, when we think of Abraham, we think of the great Abraham. And we don't think Abraham had faults. Let me tell you, Abraham had faults as well, you know. Abraham made mistakes, like so many of us. But the thing about Abraham, he did not continue. He did not continue. In chapter 12 of Genesis, we see where Abraham made a mistake. There was a famine in the land, and God had sent him, given him and put him in a certain place, and there was a famine in the land, and verse 10 of chapter 12 says, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt. Got no business going down there. Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn. Oh, there's corn in Egypt, there's food in Egypt. I'm going down to Egypt. For there's a famine in the land. He went down to Egypt. And before you know it, you couldn't recognize that was Abraham. You couldn't recognize him. He starts lying. He says, Sarah is my sister. She's not my wife. He wanted to spare his life. He lied. She's my sister. He's in the wrong place. He looked to the king of Egypt for his help, for his needs. He soon realized what happened. Did he stay in Egypt? You got to read the account. No, in chapter 13. Abraham. Chapter 12 and verse 10 said he went down to Egypt. Chapter 13 and verse 1 says Abraham went up. Abraham went up out of Egypt. He didn't stay there. You have left your first love. Remember from where you have fallen and repent, return. Abraham returned. He went back to the land that the Lord had instructed him in the Negev. He was rich in cattle. It says that Abraham went on his journeys from the Negev and so on. You know what happened to Abraham? He's Abraham again. You know what was, you know what characterized the life of Abraham? Always you follow his life, except when he was in Egypt. Here are three things. He went back to Bethel. Bethel. Onto the place of the altar. Abraham always built an altar. Wherever he went, he built an altar because he was a man of worship. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord, a man of prayer. But you know what else he did? He pitched his tent once again. He was a pilgrim. Not in Egypt. But now he is back in Bethel. And the three things that characterize his life, the altar of worship, the tent of his pilgrimage, and calling upon the name of the Lord, they are back because he remembers from where he fell and he returned. The Lord blessed him. The Lord used him. And we can't find a greater character in the Word of God than the man Abraham. Read it. Read about him in not only in Genesis, but read about him in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Abraham, the man of God, who obeyed. He obeyed God. He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Remember from where you have fallen. And repent. Israel will repent one day. Today they have rejected the Messiah. Today they don't want to hear about the wisdom and the righteousness of God. According to Acts chapter 10, they have gone about, or Romans chapter 10, they have gone about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. But read in Jeremiah chapter 23, our time is going, so we don't have time to read it all. But read in Jeremiah 23, when the Lord returns, when Israel is regathered, and Israel repented, and when the Messiah comes, they're going to hail him as the Lord, our righteousness. And Jehovah said, can you read it in Jeremiah chapter 23? He's coming. Israel will remember from where they have fallen, and they will repent. That's the remedy. We need to remember from where we have fallen. You know, you have to be honest with God. He knows exactly where you are. He knows where you come from. He knows how things were at the beginning. Here's the reward of our returning to the Lord. Because he rewards us. He rewarded Abraham. He's going to reward us, beloved. He's going to reward us with his love and with his kindness. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You are dabbling in unrighteousness because you have left your first love. And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out. Remember from where you have fallen and repent. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Oh, yes. I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out, come out. Like the prodigal, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came out, he said, came to himself after feeding these pigs and eating the pigs of food. He says, how many hired servants of my father, and I am perishing with hunger. He said, I will arise and I will go to my father. I will repent, I will return. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Look at him down there. Look at this boy who came from a house of privilege, a house of plenty, and eating pig's food because he left his first love. He left his father's house. Came to himself. Remember from where you have fallen and returned. So he went back home. His father saw him. He had compassion on him. He ran and he embraced him and he kissed him. And he didn't make him a servant. He restored him to his household. Remember from where you have fallen and repent. Turn to the Lord. He will have mercy on you and to our God. And he will abundantly pardon. He will do it for you as he did for, those Israelites the servant of the Lord who forsook the Lord and married this. This prostitute and she had children and those children and then I won't have mercy. They're scattered and you're not my people. Her name was Gomer, you know, and he said, no, I can't. I can't do that. He says, but when they repented. They repented. Hosea was the name of the servant. When they repented, God says this, and he made them a promise. He says, O Israel, return unto the Lord. Return, repent. Return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words. Take with you words. Let the prodigal. Take with you words. Don't just come and sit down and say, okay, I'm back. No, take with you words. Say something. Turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all our iniquity. Receive us graciously, and we will render the calves or the fruit of our lips. He says, Assyria can't help you. Egypt can't help you. Horses can't help you. The images that you carve with your hands can't help you. But he says, if you return to me, I'll do three things for you. I will heal your backsliding. I'm reading from Hosea chapter 14. I will heal your backsliding. I will love them freely, and mine anger is turned away from him. Three promises. But you got to return. Remember from where you have fallen and repent. Our time is gone, almost gone. There's one verse I want to leave with you when it comes to going back to the place from where you have fallen, going back to your first love. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and you all know this, that's why I can close my Bible, because you all know this verse. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, everybody knows this verse. But I'm going to leave it with you. It says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, that's what it means to repent, and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sins, and then will I heal their land. Remember from where you have fallen and repent. If not, God said, the Lord said to this church, I'm going to remove your candlestick. Your testimony would cease to exist. You don't want that. You don't want that.